Thanks for tuning in today to Solid Ground Church. We hope that this is uplifting for you and encourages you in your walk with Jesus. If we can be a help at all, please visit us on the web at solidground.church. Now, let's get to today's message.
Why believe? It's a good question, right? Okay, it's gray out, and we got to just do something real quick before we get going. All right, I need every person in this room right now to throw your hands up in the air. Just go like this. All right. And also, if you need coffee, do it, because I've chugged one this morning just to be awake. Good morning, Solid Ground. How are we doing today? Are we doing all right? Yeah. If we haven't met, my name's Bert, and I'm one of the pastors here. I want to just welcome you guys. Thank you so much for getting up, braving the weather, and being here. If you're joining us in person, if you're listening on the radio or watching online, we're just glad that you're here, and we are beginning a brand new series today called Why Believe? Answering the Age-Old Question. I want to sort of set this up a little bit. This series is really, I don't know if you know this or not, I am somebody who tends to take my time in talking. I'm sure you never felt that on a Sunday. You wanted to go to lunch, and you're just like, wrap it up, guy. So here's the thing. This series is basically one talk divided into 4 weeks, because it's just that big of a talk. And the reason I'm bringing that up is it's going to feel incomplete today. If you've been coming to our church for any length of time, maybe like you like the fact that really like we dig into the Bible and we have a text that we tend to spend a good amount of time on. There is like half a verse in this talk today, and that's it. Because when it comes to the Bible, we're not ready to bring it into the conversation just yet. So I put in a half a verse just sort of tide us over for a little bit. But this is not going to be sort of normal fare for Solid Ground. Let me try and tell you about who this series is for. This series is for a number of people. This series is for a person who says, all right, listen, you know, I grew up a Christian, and I've always believed simply because I was told to believe. And you've never really sort of evaluated, okay, is there evidence for this? Should I believe in the first place? If that's you, this series is for you. Maybe where you are is you consider yourself maybe a post-Christian. And so, you know, you grew up in church. You were presented sort of an immature kind of faith that made sense when you were a kid, but sort of the toils of adulthood came in. Things confronted you that you weren't ready for, and it made you just sort of lose your faith. If that's you, this series is for you. Or maybe where you are is just sort of teetering the line. You're like, I don't know if I should stick with this or not. This series is for you. Maybe where you are is you've been engaging conversations with friends, family members, coworkers who don't believe. And they're like, why in the heck do you do this? And you go, gosh, I don't know. Well, this series is for you too, because we're going to answer this question, why believe? So here's where we're going in the next 4 weeks. If you're sort of curious, this one thought broken into four parts, here's what it's going to look like. So today, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about rejecting the denial, meaning we're going to talk about why, I'm just going to be honest, atheism makes no sense. I mean, when it comes down to it, like, atheism is presented as very, very like a freeing, intelligent thing, and yet as we're going to discover, no, not so much. And so we're going to reject the denial of atheism. We're going to see why atheism, frankly, just doesn't work. And if this series is a funnel, we're going to go from there. We're going to bring in a little bit more. And next week, we're going to talk about arguments for theism, meaning arguments for the existence of God. Why, like, what evidence is there for the existence of God? Then, in week three, on September 23rd, we're going to talk about why specifically the Christian God. Okay, like, there are lots of religions out there. There are lots of things that you could believe. So why specifically should we believe in the Christian God, the God of the Bible? And then on the last week of this series, and I want to encourage you to be here on September 30th, we're talking about the problem of pain. How do we reconcile the idea of a God being all-powerful and good and loving with the existence of pain and suffering? How can these things coexist? Do they coexist? That's all that we're going to talk about on the 30th. That entire talk is dedicated to that. So that's where we're going. Okay, today we're going to talk about rejecting the denial, why atheism just, quite frankly, doesn't work. Next, we're going to talk about arguments for theism. Week three, we're going to talk about why specifically the Christian God. And in week four, we're talking about the problem of pain. Now, to sort of set this up, I thought, okay, you know, I don't know about you, I've heard some arguments for atheism. I like to sort of acquaint myself with different points of view and understand the arguments that are out there. And I've found there are usually sort of one of four big arguments for why people would say, all right, listen, this is why I'm not a Christian, or this is why specifically I don't believe in God, why I think there is no God. They typically, they fall into one of four categories. And so I thought I'd outline them for you today and sort of deflate them, if you will, so that we can sort of get towards the idea of the arguments for the existence of God. There are sort of four things that we want to dismiss as we're beginning the conversation. So here's sort of the top four. Number one is, quite frankly, the existence of pain and suffering. Now, again, we're going to talk about this at length in week four, but I realize that for you, if you're not a person of faith, and number one, we're really glad that you're here. Know that this church wants you. You do not have to agree with us to be with us. But if this were, usually this is the big hang up, okay? Like there was a faith that I had and I just can't reconcile that with the pain and suffering that I've gone through. And maybe where you were, is, you know, you grew up in church and you were taught a very simple faith that worked when you were a child, right? And like we talked about God, you know, rewarding good people and punishing bad ones. And that worked for a simplistic worldview of a child, but it didn't translate into adulthood, did it? Because suddenly you were seeing good people suffering all the time. Maybe you suffered. And you were like, well, I don't understand, because God is supposed to love me. And that's not what I'm experiencing right now. We pick it up in all kinds of ways. I'm not sure how we pick it up, because let me, you know, if that's where you are, you just need to know something from the outset. That is not what the Bible teaches. It doesn't teach that God only allows bad things to happen to bad people. It doesn't teach that, okay, if you're a Jesus follower, calamity and catastrophe will always evade you. It doesn't teach that. Hey, our Lord Jesus, right before the perfect good Son of God without sin was murdered, here's what he said in John 16:33, and here's our half verse. He said, in this world you will have trouble. Meaning Jesus actually promises that in this life, bad things will fall upon you. So what do you do with that? What do you do with that? Well, here's what we have to understand. Again, we're going to cover this at length, but here's the thing that I just want to sort of put out there today so that we can just go forward, because I recognize if I don't say something, we're not going to be able to hear anything else. So here's the problem with saying, okay, I don't believe in a God because bad things happen. Here's what you just need to know if that's where you are. You need to know this, that this is not an argument about God's existence. This is an argument about God's character. Let me say that again, okay? So how can there be a good God if bad things happen? That's not an argument for or against anything. That's not an argument of God's existence. That's an argument of God's character. Because, listen, all kinds of things that are like there could be all kinds of reasons that there's a God. Okay, so for instance, you say, like, well, how could God allow bad stuff and still exist? Well, maybe the God is indifferent. Right? There could be, I don't believe there is, but there could be a God who's malicious, who's kind of like that kid with a magnifying glass, like scorching ants, and we're the ants, right? It could be. Like, because just because there's bad stuff happening doesn't mean that there's not a God. It could be that God is like the God of deists who believe that God created everything and then left. That could be as well. Here's the thing. Just because something exists that I don't like doesn't mean it doesn't exist. You know, so I might be angry with God. I might say, all right, you let me down, or I can't believe that you would be good or that you love me. And those things could be true. But it doesn't mean that there is no God. The argument of pain and suffering is not an argument of God's existence. It's an argument about God's character. What type of God exists, if any? And let's just recognize that there are all kinds of things that exist that we don't approve of. So you might say, well, I don't like that God. Yeah, I wouldn't like a God who's malevolent either. But that doesn't mean that such a God doesn't exist. All kinds of things exist that we don't like. For me, cats. Cats exist. I don't like them. I don't care for them. I don't get why you people, some of your cats eat people. But okay, I don't question if cats exist, unfortunately. I wish they didn't. But it's the reality, okay? Because things exist that we don't like. In the same way, it's possible that there is a God, even if we don't like that God's actions. So when it comes to the argument of pain and suffering, the thing that we have to recognize is this, that it's not an argument about God's existence. It doesn't prove or disprove anything. Pain, while raw and emotional, is not the be-all, end-all authority for what is true and what is not and what is revealed and what is hidden in the universe. It's just not. It's an argument about God's character, not God's existence. Okay. So next thing I'm going to say is this. All right, here's another a thing that people list for why they don't believe. Some people just say this. They say, listen, faith's really immature. Faith is for the immature. Listen, you know, religion is for the unenlightened. It's for children. You know, I don't believe in the tooth fairy. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in Bigfoot. I don't believe in the Loch Ness Monster. Why in the world would I believe in God? And some people will go so far as to say, well, listen, I've got as much evidence for the existence of the Loch Ness Monster as I do God. Faith is for the immature. It's for somebody that's just not quite strong enough in life, you know, who's not smart enough, who's not figured it out. And so what they do is they just go through life and they need a crutch to stand on. They need something to just sort of help them make sense of stuff that doesn't make sense. And so they decide to sort of, you know, ascribe their passion to an invisible God. Faith is for the immature. It's for, quite frankly, stupid people. To which I would say, hold up. Because couple problems. Number one, if you're saying, well, listen, I don't believe in God because I can't see a God. Every person, Christian, atheist, agnostic, every person believes in things they can't see. Every single person. So if you say, listen, you know, I don't believe that there's a God because I see no evidence for design within creation, and yet, then what you have to do is you have to sort of come up with an explanation for why we're here. And you can say, well, it's accident. You can say that, well, you know, it's evolution. Like, that doesn't explain humanity being here. And so what you've got to do is you've got to reconcile the fact that everything within natural science tells you you're wrong. Meaning, we all believe that within science, that nothing just exists on its own. It's nothing, like something doesn't come from nothing. Things always have to come from somewhere. Okay, and so what you've got to do is you've got to account for, okay, why all this is here if the universe just suddenly comes into being as a random accident. And what atheists used to do is they would do this. They would say, well, listen, the universe is eternal. That's why it's here. But now we know, quite frankly, it's been proven that's just not the case, that the universe has a beginning and we've traced it within the Big Bang. And so people are scrounging and they're trying to go, well, how do we explain it? Well, maybe like an alien rock crashed into the earth and that accounts for the origins of life. Except it doesn't, because where did the rock come from? Well, okay, like maybe you ascribe to the worldview I heard most popularly put by Neil deGrasse Tyson, who says, well, no, the thing is this, that this world, we might be in the Matrix. Chances are good, like more than not, we're actually in the Matrix. Like this world is a simulation, it's not real. What evidence do you have for that? None. Why? Because everybody, you and me, every single person believes in things that we can't see. This is not an immaturity thing, this is a human being thing. The thing is this, we just decide what we think is immature or not. And if you say, all right, listen, faith is something that is ascribed to the weak-minded, you have a problem as well, because some of the greatest minds in human history were theists. I'll name you a few. Galileo, Pascal, Isaac Newton. How about this one? Albert Einstein. Albert Einstein, while not a Christian, believed it was impossible for the universe to exist without there being a creator. So what do you do with that? Well, you go, well, hold on. Okay, those are good people. But they were oppressed by religious people. So that's why I can't believe it, because like religious people came in, like they were the exception, to which I would simply say this, okay? Don't judge the validity of something's claims based on the people who get it wrong. So people are like, well, like religion has like suppressed science and has suppressed the truth or whatever. I'm not going to argue that there have been some stupid Christians in history. But I would hope that you wouldn't want me to argue against atheism based on stupid atheists. You know, like, listen, there are warning labels on medicine because someone has violated the principle of medicine. But hopefully none of us would say we shouldn't have medicine. In the same way, okay, saying like faith is for the immature. No, there are great minds, great men and women who absolutely have believed in God. And to say that, well, faith is somehow selective stupidity, or it's a thing where, you know, like it's for immature, it's for people lacking in smarts, so to speak, you are doing history a revision, because some of the greatest minds who have ever come on this planet were themselves believers in God. No, let me challenge you to think that faith is not for the immature. That faith itself may be greater than you think. Fourth thing that we would say, or that people would give for why, okay, I don't believe in God. Or sorry, third thing. Third thing for why people don't believe in God is this, okay? They say religion is the problem. Religion's the problem. Listen, you know, like if there weren't religions, if there weren't people dogmatically, you know, standing for their gods or whatever, there would be no wars. There have been so many bad things that have been done in the name of religion, so if there were no religions, everything would be fixed. It's the theology of John Lennon, right? Imagine there's no heaven. Wouldn't we be so much better if there was no, like, because then finally there would be peace. Finally, we would be free as a species because we wouldn't be worried about impressing an invisible boogeyman. It would be so, because listen, guys, don't you understand that religion is the problem? Religion suppresses freedom. Religion takes away human dignity. Religion robs people of goodness. And so some people, they go, no, thank you. I care too much about humanity. I care too much about my loved ones. I care too much about me to believe in God. To which I would say, hold on, because here's the thing, and maybe you've never thought about this, but you have to understand that if there is no God, some things that you hold to as sort of basic human nature go out the window as well. There are some sort of some conclusions that atheists don't want to bring up if there is no God, and you just need to know that these things are there. Let me give you some things. Here's some things, by the way, that if there is no God, these things do not exist as well. All right, so here, I'll give you three. Number one, if there is no God, then justice does not exist. You just need to know that. Like, if there is no God, justice does not exist. Because it means this. It means we made it up. If there is no God, there is no sort of universal standard for right and wrong. There is no, okay, we should expect something of someone. Because they're just rules that we came up with on our own. And we have no right to impose them on anybody else. Because they're rules that we made up. And they're cultural rules. They go with the ebb and flow of who's in power. If there is no God, there is no such thing as right and wrong. It all comes down to personal preference. Are you okay with that? That basically, at the end of the day, the reason that we do things is out of fear of being caught. You know, like why will some people refrain from breaking the law? Well, because they don't want to go to jail. And that's it. And to say, like, okay, like, really the driving force of our species is procreation and making the strong survive. Like, if there is no God, that's all that this is. Justice is not a thing. And that should terrify you. If there is no God, it also means that free will does not exist. So for the one who's like, well, religion suppresses, you know, freedom. Actually, no, atheism does that. And here's why. Because if we are all simply chemicals and cells, it means we are just products of circumstance. So if there is no God, basically all that we are is a meat bag that's reacting to different stimuli. We can't be held accountable for our actions. Free will does not exist. We are just simply reacting in sort of a course of motion for a species. You have no will. You have no mind. I mean, that you are simply a body. If there is no God, your very freedom that you claim to cling to is not real. It's just a chemical reaction to something else. Does that bother you? How about this? If there is no God, inherent human dignity does not exist. You're like, okay, for Christians, we have this belief that every person matters because they're created in the image of God. But if all we are is just sort of like the lucky cells that divided and became a person, all right, if all we are is just chemicals and cells who have been blessed with appreciating life, if that's all that we are, then we should, there is no inherent human dignity, because basically anytime somebody gets in the way of the strong thriving, that thing should be in the wrong. That person should be in the wrong. There is no inherent human worth if there is no God. Well, no, because what we want to do is, like, we want to grow as a species, and what we want to do is we want to sort of go forward, and so we're communal beings. Yeah, but the problem is this. if a person is weak, let's say that they have a handicap, let's say they have a physical malady or whatever, then if there is no God, that person gets in the way, and therefore they should not be allowed to continue. And that's terrifying. That's a very, very slippery slope. And you could say, well, no, like, because the thing is just like, we are by nature loving, compassionate creatures. And so these things will remain. Yeah, except we're not. These values that so many of us as Americans, we hang to, we love the idea of love. We love the idea of forgiveness and compassion. These things are great. You should just know that they're not human nature. They're not. These values of love and caring for the poor and caring for the disenfranchised and caring for those who can't stand up for themselves, these are watered down values of Christianity. They take the teachings of Christ that we like, because before Jesus, nobody was teaching like this, okay? And they take out the stuff that we don't like, being accountable, judgment, like they remove that. This sort of American mentality of equal justice for everybody, those are Christian values that rest on there being a creator. And when you remove said creator, those values do not exist. It's why if you go across the sea in the East, you find people not clinging to the idea of, well, listen, stand up for the weak, stand up for the poor. Like, the reason the you don't find that everywhere is because these values are not inherent to human nature. They're not. Up until Jesus, the predominant belief was this: might equals right. How do you know you're right? You're strongest. And Jesus flipped that on its head. So listen, if there is no God, justice does not exist, free will does not exist, and inherent human dignity also does not exist. Which leads us to our last reason that I think people give quite often. It says, listen, there's no evidence. There's no evidence for the existence of God. Why would I believe in a God I can't see? There's all kinds of things that I can see. There's all kinds of things that can be observed and qualified and shown to be repeated over and over and over and over again. There just simply is no evidence for the existence of God. It's a no-brainer. Because, I mean, listen, if there is a God, why wouldn't he, she, it just reveal themselves? Ha ha, I'm God. Hello. So, you know, years ago, there was a great scientist named Carl Sagan. Anybody remember Carl Sagan? All right, some of you do. Okay. Carl Sagan had a thing one time. He said like this. He said, listen, if there's a God, why not just etch a cross in the moon? Ta-da, there it is. Christian God's the true one. Problem solved. Yeah, there is no cross in the moon. But here's the problem with said notion. One, it misunderstands the nature of who Christians believe God to be. If I could, for just a second, to go into the Christian camp. Those of us of the Christian faith, we don't believe that God wants us to be sort of mindless servant drones. We believe that God has created us for a loving relationship with him, to enjoy him, to know him. And so how do you create a world, I would wonder, how do you create a world that, okay, if somebody didn't want to follow God, they could have an out? Is it by God sort of being like a helicopter parent, standing over somebody's shoulder and over again being like, hey, it's me, do this. Hey, it's me, do that. Or is it you give just enough room so if somebody wants to doubt, they can. But if they want to believe, they'll see it. Back to Sagan's point. Okay, well, like, why not just, you know, etch a cross in the moon? I'm not sure it would be enough. Give you an example. So, some of you have heard of this before. There is a cell. Well, it's a cell adhesion molecule in the human body. It's called laminin. Here's how you spell it. We'll put it on the screen here. All right. So here's what laminin does. It's in all of you. It's the glue that's holding you together right now. Okay. What laminin does is this. It tells the cells in the human body what to do. On top of that, it's the protein that influences like cell differentiation, migration, adhesion. You are together right now because laminin is so thoroughly through you. Laminin is all about you. You would not exist if there were not laminin within you. And there's just so much laminin within you, you're here. Thank God for laminin, okay? So do you know what laminin looks like? Would you like to see? Let's put it on the screen here, guys. This is laminin. Now, isn't that interesting?
That here's the thing that if this were not here, you would not exist. It makes you up. And it's shaped like a cross. Back to Sagan's thing, well, why not just etch a cross in the moon? It's too small. How about this? It's present within all human life, and all life for that matter. Now, here's the thing. This doesn't prove or disprove Christianity. It really doesn't. Because if you are not of faith, here's what you've just done, okay? You've seen that, and here's your instant thought. You just went, there's got to be another explanation. There's just got to be. And I remember the first time I heard about this, I was like, okay, I have to hear what people who are not of the Christian faith think about this. So I went to my favorite fact-checking site, Snopes. You ever been to Snopes? Snopes is great. Like, whenever your mom sends you something and you're like, oh, I don't think that's real, go to Snopes, because it's probably not. But Snopes, their treatment of laminin was really, really great, because here's what they said. Like, so they brought this up, and they said, false. It is not shaped like this. And I was like, oh, really? So what is it shaped like? And here's what they said. They said, that's really a lot of room for interpretation. Some people see that doesn't mean a cross. Some people see it as shaped like a sword. Other people, like, if you flip it on the side, like some, they show a picture of one that's kind of been bent away. To me, that looks more like a mermaid than a cross. See, it doesn't mean a cross. And therein is the problem, okay? If you want an out, you will always find one. And so here's the question, like, for the person who says, listen, I don't believe because there is no evidence for the existence of God, I have one question for you, and I need you to chew on it this week as we go into the discussion of theism next week. And here's the question I need you to ask yourself, okay? What do you want to believe? What do you want to believe, okay? Because listen, our reception of evidence is subjective. If you want there to not be a God, it doesn't matter what evidence slaps you in the face, you will not believe. It's just as simple as that. If you desperately say, all right, listen, you know, I want my life to be this way, I want this or that to be true, there's such a thing as confirmation bias. And you will filter in the information that agrees with you, and you will filter out the information that contradicts you. We all do this. If you don't believe me, just look at the existence of political news on both sides, right? Like, some people are like, my president's the best. Some people say my president's the worst. How do we know? I don't know. It depends on the network. And they're both given the same information. They just choose to receive it completely differently. I'm not going into politics. I'm just saying, here's the thing. We filter in and out things that we like and dislike. And so we have to ask the question, what do you want to believe? Because when it comes to the existence of God, if you don't want to believe, you won't. And nothing will change that. So let's evaluate, hey, for a person who's not of faith, like why might you not want there to be a God? Maybe it's bragging rights. You've had enough arguments that if you say, okay, I think there is a God, maybe it makes you feel a little bit sheepish, like, oh my gosh, I was wrong. I don't want to do that. Maybe, how about this? Maybe you're angry at God. Maybe you were raised with that simple childlike faith that worked when you were a kid, but not when you're an adult. And so you want nothing to do with God because you're protecting yourself a little bit. You can't go through that heartache again. And so it's easier for you to just go, all right, I just don't think that there's a God. Because then you don't have to deal with the messiness of said God. Maybe for you, you want to be seen as more intelligent. There are some people that they believe are, listen, atheists just look smart, and I kind of like the idea of I'll consider myself a quote-unquote free thinker, or I'll consider myself this, and doesn't this show how enlightened and intelligent I am? To which I would say that's nothing about evidence and all about self-image. What do you want to believe? What do you want to believe? Hey, are you morally conflicted? This. Hey, is there something, okay, if you start to believe in God, is there something in your life or something that you want to do that if you believe in God, you know that you're in the wrong about it and you don't want to give said thing up? Maybe you have something to lose there. If you believe in God, it means you might lose something in this life that you don't want to lose, and that's scary. Okay. But that's not an issue of truth or evidence. That's an issue of what you want. Now, to be fair, I want there to be a God. And I don't because I talk about him for a living. Listen, if this went under, I could sell insurance and be fine. That's not it. That's not it. Here's why. Here's why I am biased. Here are my three things about why I want there to be God. One, because I want to believe in the value of human life. You know, to quote Dr. Seuss, I want to believe that a person is a person no matter how small. I want to believe that every person on this planet should be stood up for, should be cared for, that we should be concerned about, should be loved. And I see no way of that being a thing unless there is a God. I want to believe in the value of human life that only comes from there being a creator. Two, I want to believe in a God because I want to believe that things like love, justice, and compassion exist outside of me. I want to believe that when I see my sons or my wife, that the love that I feel for them isn't just chemicals swirling around in my head, but there's something greater than me. That justice is greater than the rules that I set up. There is a standard for existence that's bigger than me. I want to believe in such a thing. And I also want to believe in a God because I want to believe that every person has a purpose on this earth. That you and me have been created for a reason. That we matter. And that nobody is here by accident. And without a God, we're only here by accident. Which I'm just not willing to believe. So, what do you want to believe? Take that question. Chew on it this week. Go introspective. Man, why might I want there to be a God? Why might I not want there to be a God? Take it and just think about it for a little bit. Because when it comes down to it, this is not a question about evidence or proof. It is 100% a question of preference. If you want there to be evidence, you will see it. If you don't, you won't. And it is that simple. So this time, here's what I want to do. I want to invite the worship band to come back up. We're going to close out in just a second. While they're getting set up, I want you guys to do me a favor, okay? If today, maybe while I was talking, there are some things like I said that either stirred you, maybe you think some things that I said were just kind of weak in terms of the substance of the argument, I want you to let me know. If you know you want to discuss this more, if there's some stuff where you think like okay, I just like I'd be more curious on this thing, or you think okay, you really just you skirted a question, you weren't as sincere as you could have been, your argument wasn't as good as you thought it was. Let me know. So here's what I want you to do: if you would be so willing, if anything about today sparked an interest with you or a conflict or a debate, I want you to email us. And here's the email address: hello@solidground.church. Really simple: hello@solidground.church. Let us know your thoughts, because the thing is this, we don't get better without discussion. So if there's anything today that you would say, all right, I think you need to revisit this, or I don't think that was clear, or I don't think that was right, or you know, okay, maybe there is something to this, I've never thought about that, I want to hear more on that, email us. We would love to have that dialogue. All right, so this time, guys, what we're going to do, I'm just going to invite you all to stand up, and we're going to close out with one more song, and then I'll dismiss us for the morning.
If you decided to follow Jesus today, let us help you take your first steps in faith. Visit us on the web at solidground.church/firststeps. There you'll find free resources and videos to help you take your first steps in your relationship with Jesus. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we look forward to seeing you next week.